नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद्भागवतम् टेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर टू और चैप्टर 51 टेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर 51 टेक्स्ट 59-58 दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज द डिलीवरेंस ऑफ मुचुकंदा टेक्स्ट 58 श्री भगवान उवाच सार्वभौम महाराज मतिस्ते विमलोर्जिता बड़ई प्रलोभितस्यापि न कामैर् विहता यतः श्री भगवान उवाच सार्वभौम महाराज मतिस्ते विमलोर्जिता बरई प्रलोभितस्यापि न कामैर्विहता यतः सार्वभौम महाराज मतिस्ते विमलोर्जिता बरई प्रलोभितस्यापि न कामैर्विहता यतः सार्वभौम महाराज मतिस्ते विमलोर्जिता बरई प्रलोभितस्यापि न कामैर्विहता यतः द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड सेड सार्वभौम ओ एम्परर महाराज ग्रेट रूलर मति माइंड ते योर विमला स्पॉटलेस ऊर्जिता पोटेंट वरई विद बेनेडिक्शन प्रलोभितस्य ऑफ यू हु वर एंटाइस्ड अपि इवन दो न नॉट कामई बाय मटेरियल डिजायर्स विहता स्पॉइल्ड यतः सिंस ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस I'm sorry. It's actually translated by Srila Prabhupada's loyal disciples, headed by Ridhananda Maharaj. And his team. Translation. The Supreme Lord said, O Emperor, great ruler, your mind is pure and potent. Though I enticed you with benedictions, your mind was not overcome by material desires. So this and the next few verses don't have any purport, so I'll just read them through. Text 59 Prolobhito barir jattam apramadaya vidhitat na dhire kanta bhaktanam ashibhir bhiddate kvachit. Understand that I enticed you with benedictions just to prove that you would not be deceived. The intelligence of my unalloyed devotee is never diverted by material blessings. Text 60. Junjanan abhaktanam pranayama bhidirmata manaha akshina vasanang rajan drishyate punaruttitam. The minds of non-devotees who engage in such practices as pranayama are not fully cleansed of material desires. Thus, O King, material desires are again seen to arise in their minds. Next verse. Bicharasva mahim kamam maya beshita manasaha astevam nittada tubhyam bhaktir mayana paini. Wander this earth at will with your mind fixed on me. May you always possess such unfailing devotion for me. Text 62. Kshatra dharma sthito jantur badhir mriga adibhi samahitas tattapasya jajhavdham madupashritaha. Because you followed the principles of Kshatriya, you killed living beings while hunting and performing other duties. You must vanquish the sins thus incurred by carefully executing penances while remaining surrendered to me. Text 63, this is the last verse of this chapter. Janmanantare Rajan Sarva Bhuta Sudhittama Bhutva Dija Varastangvai Mamu Paishashi Kevalam. O King, in your very next life, you will become an excellent Brahmana, the greatest well-wisher of all creatures, and certainly come to me alone. Purport. Sri Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, 5.29, Suridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatva Mam Shantim Mrichati. A person attains peace by understanding me to be the well-wishing friend of all living beings. Lord Krishna and his pure devotees work together to rescue the fallen souls from the ocean of illusion. This is the real purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the 10th canto, 51st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Deliverance of Muchukunda. O King, in your very next life, you will become an excellent Brahmana, the greatest well-wisher of all creatures, and certainly come to me alone. So, thus ends this chapter, 51st chapter, The Deliverance of Muchukunda. I'm sure all of you remember the incidents. Krishna was Krishna was attacked by Kalajavana. Kalajavana was not to be killed by Krishna. So it was an arrangement that Krishna wouldn't kill Kalajavana. And it was, I think, to Kalajavana's mother, Krishna made that commitment. And So Kalajavana attacked Krishna in Mathura, and Krishna dropped his weapons. And so this is the Vedic custom among the Kshatriyas. They follow even in their battle, although it is a struggle for being alive, like, you know, at the time of war, at the time of battle, when they are being attacked, and it is actually when their life even was at stake, they are about to lose their life, even then they would not deviate from the principles that have been established by the authorities of the scriptures, like Manu and other such great saintly personalities. The standard has been established, and they would follow the standard, even at the cost of losing their lives. And the purpose actually was that if they stuck to the principles, it was destined, it was assured that they are going to go back to God. They're going to go back to heavenly planets. They'll be elevated to the heavenly planets. A Kshatriya would come to the battlefield either to win and enjoy his kingdom, or to die and go back to heavenly planet. Either way, it is beneficial. And in Bhagavad Gita also Krishna told that to Arjuna. What's the loss fighting the battle? If you win the battle, you will enjoy the entire earth planet. Bhokshashi Mahim. Mahim. The earth, entire earth planet, not only just one small kingdom. The reward of winning the battle would be he would become the sovereign king of the entire planet. And if you die, then you'll go to heavenly planet. So what's the loss? So fight this battle. Don't run away. Don't give up. So that was the understanding that the Kshatriyas used to have, and therefore they were fearless. They would fight in the battle with a very clear understanding. First of all, they would fight to win, but they knew that even if they lose and they die in the battlefield, they'll attain heavenly kingdoms, heavenly planets, Swargaloka. And so, and therefore they would always stick to the principles of fighting. They, like, one of the things is that if a person is, if the opponent loses his chariot, then he would come out of his chariot and fight. He would not, riding on the chariot, he would not attack his enemy who is on the ground. And if the enemy doesn't have any weapon, he would drop his weapon and fight with him with bare hands. That's what happened when Arjuna was chasing Ashwatthama, and Ashwatthama's horses became tired. So they could not drag the chariot anymore. So Ashwatthama came out of the chariot and he started to run. And when Arjuna saw, he was chasing Ashwatthama, and when he saw that Ashwatthama came out of the chariot and he was running on foot, then Arjuna also descended from the chariot and he was chasing him on foot, running on foot. So here Krishna also did the same thing. I'm sorry, Kalajavana, we can see the nobility, although he is considered to be a kind of a degraded person, quite mean. But they are quite valiant in their character. Extremely valiant in their character, actually. So Kalajavana dropped his, when he saw that Krishna dropped his weapons, he also dropped his weapons. And Krishna was running. And he thought that Krishna became afraid of him, and therefore he is running away from him. So he was also running after Krishna. He chased Krishna. And Krishna ran in such a way that to Kalajavana it seemed that he is just about to catch him. Just maintained, just out of his reach. So Kalajavana, Krishna gave deceptive escape in this way. He was running, and then finally Krishna entered into that cave where Muchukunda was sleeping. And Muchukunda, he wanted to have a benediction from the demigods that if anybody disturbed in his sleep and he would cast his glance upon him, then he'll be burned to ashes. So Krishna knew that, so he entered into that cave, mountain cave, and then it was dark, but in the semi-darkness, where Muchukunda was lying, Kalajavana just came over there, and he saw Muchukunda lying, and he thought that that was Krishna. So he just kicked him and woke him up. And Muchukunda just looked at him, and Kalajavana was burnt to ashes. So Krishna's pastimes are so wonderful. Like he would make, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he can make all kinds of arrangements to destroy his apparent enemies. Actually, Lord doesn't have any enemy. He is Suridham Sarvabhutana. He is the well-wishing friend of all living entities. But some living entities, out of their envy, they consider the Lord to be their enemy. Krishna is not anyone's enemy. Krishna is the well-wishing friend of all living entities because they are all his parts and parcels. So because they all are his parts and parcels, they all are very dear to him. Like in our body, every single part is so dear to us. Like some part may revolt against us. But when the part revolts against us, doesn't want to perform, like some part becomes diseased. The part becomes diseased and the part stops to serve the body or cater to the body's needs. But the body does not think that that part has become my enemy. On the other hand, the body becomes more concerned about that part that has become diseased. So in the ultimate issue, Krishna is the supreme well-wisher of all living entities. And when we become averse to him, Krishna becomes more concerned about us. This aversion to Krishna is a kind of a disease. So just as when a part becomes diseased, the body becomes more concerned about it, when we become diseased, Krishna's parts and parcels, then Krishna becomes even more concerned about us. And Krishna tries to cure us in so many ways, cure our disease. And when our disease is cured, then Krishna feels relieved. And this is Krishna's campaign along with his devotees. As Prabhupada is pointing out here, Lord Krishna and his pure devotees work together to rescue the fallen souls from the ocean of illusion. So, Krishna is the supreme well-wishing friend of every living entity. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Riddeshe Arjuna Tishtati. Krishna is situated in every living entity's heart. Riddeshe, in every living entity's heart, is situated. Why? He is situated in every living entity's heart because he is the supreme well-wisher of every living entity. We may have forgotten him, we may have rejected him, we may have become averse to him, but Krishna is always concerned about us and he is always considering how to bring us back to him. Therefore, on our part, all it needs is to just surrender unto him. Krishna, I made a mistake. Sorry about that. Please forgive me for all my offensive acts. Please allow me to become connected to you. Please allow me to develop my love for you. Please allow me to express that love for you through devotional service unto you. So in this way, the living entity, when a living entity prays to Krishna, when we pray to Krishna, then Krishna becomes pleased and Krishna makes all the arrangements to take us back to his lotus feet. And that's what as Krishna is telling. Krishna was prepared. He was so pleased with Muchukunda. Muchukunda was the son of Mandhata, another great personality who appeared in a very illustrious Kshatriya dynasty, the Sun dynasty, Surya Vamsa. In that dynasty, Lord Ramchandra appeared, the Ikshaku dynasty, which descended from Vivashvan, Surya Dev. Vivashvan to Manu, Manu to Ikshaku, and in this way this dynasty went down, the dynasty, the chronological age, descended to this planet. So this Muchukunda was such a great personality, such a valiant, powerful king, that the demigods approached him to fight with them against the demons. And Muchukunda fought on behalf of the demigods until Skanda or Kartikeya came, who became the general of the demigods. And then Muchukunda retired. But he was so tired after such a long fight that he wanted to take rest. And he wanted this boon, that he just wanted to peacefully lie down and take rest. And until he woke up on his own, when he is completely rested, completely satisfied with the rest, then he wanted to wake up. And he had the thing that if anyone disturbed him in his sleep, then he would be burnt to ashes. And Krishna took advantage of that boon of Muchukunda. And Muchukunda was lying in a cave, desiring not to be disturbed by anyone. And Krishna led Kalajavana into that cave. And Kalajavana woke him up from his sleep. And the result was he got burnt to ashes. And so here Muchukunda is offering his prayers to Krishna, such beautiful prayers to the Supreme Personality of God. When the Lord wanted to give him the boon, Muchukunda, ask for anything. Ask for anything. But Muchukunda's concern was how to develop your devotional service unto the Lord. So that's about the only thing he wanted. That please allow me to render devotional service unto you. Please allow me to become attached to your lotus feet with all the heart of my love, with all the love of my heart. And that was his only desire. Please allow me to love you and serve you with all sincerity, and let that be my only goal of my existence. Besides that, I don't want anything. And Krishna was so pleased with him because of this attitude. And Krishna is saying that, finally Krishna is saying that, yes, I wanted to give those boons to you just to show everybody that how a devotee doesn't want anything besides my devotional service unto you. I am prepared to give a devotee anything that he wants, but the devotee who is extremely intelligent, he knows the futility of getting anything in the material nature. No matter how lofty that may be, how wonderful that boon may be, how wonderful that achievement may be, but in the material nature everything is transient. Nothing is going to last forever. So why should I go for something that is only going to last for a short while, only temporary? In the material nature, what can we actually want? We simply want to have some pleasure, some happiness, some opportunity to exploit this nature for our sense gratification. But what's the use of this sense gratification? Our heart will always remain uncontent. Our heart will always remain discontent in this material nature. So why run after something? Why run after a mirage, no matter how beautiful it may appear to be? After all, it's a mirage. It's illusory. It's non-existent. It's just phantasmagoria. It appears to be there. And it may appear with a lot of promise that there will be so much enjoyment out of that. But after all, it's not there. It's just an illusory concept. So why should we run after this illusory concept? Rather, let's go for something that is eternal, that's permanent, that has a real substance of joy. And Krishna sometimes tries to allure his devotees with this kind of allurements. But Krishna is saying that this was simply to show others that my devotee doesn't go for all those stuffs. All those cheap sense gratification is not what interests the devotee. So understand that I enticed you with benedictions just to prove that you would not be deceived. Just to prove to the world that a devotee will not be deceived, no matter how much the Lord tries to entice him, devotee will not be deceived. Because his consciousness, his intelligence is fixed. He knows what he wants. He knows what is for his permanent benefit, what is for his eternal benefit. And he is not going to deviate from. So Krishna is making that statement here that just to prove that you would not be deceived by all these enticements. The intelligence of my unalloyed devotee is never diverted by material blessings. An unalloyed devotee, a pure devotee of the Lord, his intelligence is never diverted by material benedictions. He doesn't want anything in the material platform. So he is not interested in any amount of material sense gratification, the possibility of material sense gratification. Rather, his mind is fixed. Vavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kuru nandana. His mind is fixed on one point. Rendering devotional service unto the lotus feet the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he is not going to compromise with anything else. That is what he wants, and that's the only thing that he wants, nothing else. He is not going to settle for anything else. So, and Krishna himself is making that point. O Emperor, great ruler, your mind is pure and potent. Though I enticed you with benedictions, your mind was not overcome by material desires. Understand that I enticed you with benedictions just to prove that you would not be deceived. The intelligence of my unalloyed devotees is never diverted by material blessings. And then Krishna is pointing out, the minds of non-devotees who engage in such practices as pranayama are not fully cleansed of material desires. Thus, O King, material desires are again seen to arise in their minds. So here Krishna is establishing the supremacy, the supreme benefit of following the process of devotional service. There are other processes of making spiritual advancement, becoming free from material entanglements. But those paths, those processes are first of all very difficult and unreliable. Vishvamitra, He was performing meditations for 64,000 years. For 64,000 years. And Indra became worried. Wow, he is performing this austerity. Probably he wants to take over my position. So Indra, when Indra sees that someone is performing austerities like that, he becomes worried. And he tries to break their austerities and meditation. So he sent Menaka, a celestial beauty. And so Menaka went, and Vishvamitra's senses were completely withdrawn. So although Menaka was trying to entice him, but his consciousness was so withdrawn deep within himself that it was not, she was totally ineffective. But while Menaka was dancing, trying to make him, trying to break his meditation, Menaka was dancing. And somehow, although his senses were completely withdrawn, but somehow the sound of the ankle bells of Menaka entered through his ear holes. That is one organ that he couldn't block. One senses that he could not completely seal up. So the sound of the ankle bells entered. And she must have been dancing with great rhythm, and it was the sound of the ankle bell must have been so sweet and so charming. And just as it entered into Vishvamitra's ears, his meditation broke. He opened his, he just looked up, his eyes opened, and his consciousness again came back into the material direction. He was trying to withdraw his consciousness from the material nature. That's the fifth stage of yoga process, Ashtanga Yoga. The eightfold yoga system, the fifth is pratyahar, withdrawal of the senses from the objects of the senses. And he very expertly had done that. And mind you, not for 1 or 2 minutes, not even 1 or 2 hours, not even 1 or 2 years, for 64,000 years. But just a little sound vibration of a beautiful woman's ankle bell entered into his ears, and His meditation broke. He looked up. And as soon as he opened his eyes, he saw this extremely beautiful celestial beauty was dancing in front of him. Meditation broke. His determination was washed away. 64,000 years of austerities. So that is the futility of, or ineffectivity of these other processes. Pranayama. Pranayama here, Krishna is implying the Ashtanga Yoga system. So, austerities, penances, yoga system, ultimately they are not really that effective. Whereas a devotional service, although it is easily executed, susukham kartum abhayam, very easy to perform, but its effect is very, very substantial. And another thing about the devotional service, the wonderful thing about the devotional service, that yes, one may deviate, one may even fall down, but the process is so powerful that once he comes back onto the path, then he will be reinstated at the same place where he actually left it. There is no loss or diminution. No loss or no diminution. No losing or no deviating from that. Yes, one may have spiritual difficulties. Sometimes we see the devotees, some devotees are having some spiritual difficulties. Doesn't matter. Okay, let them go and get kicked around by Maya for a few years. And then they'll come back again. And when they come back, well, they'll be reinstated in the same position where they actually left. And they'll start from there again and continue. Or if somebody dies without achieving his ultimate perfection, then in his next life, when he'll begin his spiritual life, he'll begin from the same point where he left in his previous life. Sometimes don't we experience that? There seems that some devotee is so advanced, as if they had been here in the movement for many years. Although they may be just new bhaktas, but they seem to be so well situated, so advanced. We have to understand that they are actually continuing from their previous lives. So in one hand, it is susukham kartum abhayam. It is susukham, it's executed very happily. There's no difficulty in executing spiritual life, in devotional service. Very easily we can execute it. There's no hardship in devotional service. The only hardship is to follow the four regulative principles. Prabhupada used to say that the only austerity that devotees have to perform is just following the four regulative principles. That's the only austerity. Just following the four regulative principles will amount to more than what to speak of 64,000 years, 64 zillion years of austerities. It's far superior to any amount of austerity that anybody can ever perform. So that is how wonderful devotional service is. It is very easily executed, but it is more powerful, more effective than any amount of austerities and penances and yoga siddhi. And it is easily executed, and whatever benefit we derive is never lost. Like for example, when Vishwamitra got allured by Menaka, his 64,000 years of austerities and penances all went down the drain. Everything was lost. Everything was lost. He had to start up again. Due to his association, a daughter was born, Shakuntala. And that after the daughter was born, Vishwamitra came back to his senses. He left her. And the poor girl, and the mother also left, leaving the poor girl in the forest. And then Kanva Muni found, a great sage Kanva Muni found her and reared her up. So then Vishwamitra again started his tapasya, austerities. Whereas for a devotee, there is no loss. Because the devotee's achievements are not recorded by his own mind or memory. Devotee's achievements are in the spirit soul, and the record is kept by Krishna himself. Because devotional service is rendered to Krishna, and Krishna is the most grateful personality. If somebody does something little bit for Krishna, Krishna never forgets, and he remains grateful to him for that. Oh, you gave me a glass of water, I'm so grateful to you. Oh, you offered me a tulasi manjari, I'm sold out to you. That is how Krishna feels. A devotee renders some little service to Krishna, and Krishna feels eternally grateful to that devotee. And that is why there is no loss or diminution. And we are so fortunate that we have found this path. And the effectivity and efficacy of that path is reconfirmed time and time again in scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam. Through these anecdotes, through these happenings, and through the statements of Krishna himself, it becomes established how effective devotional service is. So we don't have to do anything else. We simply have to remain thankful to Srila Prabhupada that somehow or other we have come to ISKCON, become a member of this institution, we got this opportunity to practice this process under the guidance of his wonderful arrangement. And we are getting all the informations from his books, all the instructions from his books, and a wonderful association of devotees are there. So all that we need is just to remain in this movement, and I won't even say practice the process. Just remain in the movement and move along. Just stay in this movement and just carry on without deviating. All we have to do is just, we have to stay in this movement. And if someday by chance we bloop, we must make it a point to come back. Even if we deviate, even if we go away from the association of devotees, we should program our mind that one day we must come back. This allurement of Maya is there. Sometimes the devotees will have this tendency to go away. And we've seen so many devotees have come to the movement and have gone away. Actually, if all the devotees stayed in ISKCON, then I think our number would have been more than 100,000. If we didn't lose the devotees, the practicing devotees would have been more than 100,000 today. But it is like a continuous flux, coming and going. Some devotees are going away, and new devotees are coming. But we must program ourselves with understanding that even if we go away, must come back one. Why do we go away? We go away by being allured by Maya. Maya can come in so many ways. And Maya's business is actually to taste our sincerity. Maya is like a teacher, invigilator. Maya is like a teacher. The teacher, what does the teacher do? The teacher teaches And then the teacher, at the time of examination, the teacher becomes the invigilator. He watches us, how we are going to answer the questions. And then he checks the papers. And if we write our answers nicely, then he gives us good mark. And if we don't, then we fail. So that's what Maya does. Maya puts different tests in front of us. So here is a wonderful opportunity to enjoy. But a devotee, what will he say? What's enjoyment in the material nature? I'm not interested. Maya Devi, please forgive me. I know with all good intentions you are making this offer. But I'm sorry, I'm not really interested in that. Then Maya will say, good boy, promoted. Then after a while Maya will come up with another temptation. And these temptations are actually the tests of Maya. And as they may come like a stumbling block, but when we transcend them, when we overcome them, then they become stepping stones in the path of our spiritual progress. So Maya that way is our friend. Maya is our well-wisher. She is testing us to increase our attachment and faith to Krishna. And finally, when we cross all the allurements of Maya, then we become qualified. But sometimes we may fail. Maya may come to us and we may fail. And Maya may come in so many different ways. I have noticed one big way that Maya comes, that I have been treated so badly in ISKCON. So I leave ISKCON. Devotees, they insulted me. They didn't give me Mahaprasad. So many excuses you can get. But the thing is that we must remember that our business is to stay on in this movement no matter whatever happens. And these arrangements to take us away from the movement is actually tests of Maya. So in this way we must remain fixed up, and as I said, even if we fail, even if we become bewildered and go away from the movement, but we must make an arrangement at the back of our mind that someday or other we have to come back to this movement again. And our goal should be that we can die in this movement. Because one thing I have noticed, that if we can die in ISKCON, we'll make it. If we can die in ISKCON, surrounded by the devotees, they'll create the good fortune for us. They'll chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, they will play Srila Prabhupada's tapes, they'll put the pictures of the deities in front of us, and at the last moment they'll offer the Ganga, Jamuna and Vrindavan dust to our mouth. And when we leave our body, they'll take care of our body in such a wonderful way. And after we have left the body, they'll give us Krishna Prasad. All these wonderful arrangements, each single arrangement is good enough to take us back. If one leaves his body just in contact with Tulasi, he goes back to Godhead. As simple as that. Like if somebody puts some Tulasi when the body is being cremated, just that one arrangement that Krishna has made is good enough to take us back to Godhead. What to speak of leaving our body, chanting the holy name of the Lord. What to speak of leaving the body surrounded by the devotees chanting and wishing us well. So all these are such powerful arrangements. So that's why to have the good fortune of living our bodies in the association of devotees is so important. And with the passing of time, this is becoming more and more clear to us. We are becoming more and more convinced about the process. Don't we see how the devotees live their bodies? They may not be very exalted, very big devotees. Even some simple devotees live their bodies in such a way that becomes such a wonderful example for all of us. And when they leave their body, one thing we notice among the devotees, when they leave their body, we see that there's a beautiful smile in their face, which is not seen in any other dead body. Only in a devotee's body we find. And even though they left their body, their body seems to be so effulgent. There's a beautiful smile, as if at the time of leaving their body, Krishna just came, and they just got to see Krishna. And a big smile came in their face with a profound feeling that now my life is successful. I got to see Krishna. And how will you feel when you see Krishna standing there? And yes, Krishna will come, or Krishna will send his representatives to take us back to him. So that is how effective, that's how authentic, and that's how powerful this process is. So let's just take full advantage of this process and never ever deviate from this process. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all that has been mentioned in the scriptures is the truth and nothing but the truth. These are the scriptures that contains the absolute truth. So we must approach this process with that conviction. The greatest of the personalities, the most exalted personalities, have accepted this book, the scriptures, as the absolute truth. And not a single falsity is there. Not a single mistake, not a single lie. Why should the Supreme Personality of Godhead lie? Why should he lie? Even a gentleman doesn't lie. What to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Why should he lie? Why should Prabhupada lie? Such an exalted personality, such an illustrious personality. What an inconceivable sacrifice he made for the benefit of this world. Why should that person lie? People lie when they have something to gain for their self-interest. But a person who is selfless, who doesn't have any selfish motivation, why should he lie? Therefore, we must accept every single statement of the scripture as the truth and nothing but the truth. And with that conviction, we must carry on. We must follow this process. Then the result, we can't even imagine how inconceivably wonderful will be. So, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nithai ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Vallabha ki jai, Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki jai, Shri Shri Prahlad Nrisingha Dev ki jai, Samabeta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes, Chiranjeev Prabhu.
You're saying that when a devotee leaves and comes back and starts from where he stops. Now what happens if he's committed offenses state is like the elephant of plants where the bhakti paper is destroyed. Does that set him back in one way? Is this like that?
Yeah, he may commit offense to the Vaishnavas, but Vaishnavas are very merciful. So when he comes to the Vaishnavas and they forgive them, then Vaishnavas don't banish him or punish him. Vaishnavas say, well, no offense. What did you do? Nothing. Nothing wrong. So wonderful that you came back. So that is a Vaishnava. He may have offended him. One may have offended him, but he, when that person comes back to him and begs forgiveness, he just embraces him and says that everything is all right, don't worry about everything. Yes. Now, we should be careful about committing offense, and because of that offense we actually drift away from Krishna consciousness. Actually, when one takes to Krishna consciousness, that is, when one surrenders himself to Krishna, then Krishna takes his responsibility. Krishna takes his full responsibility. But when, only when he commits Vaishnava Aparad, Krishna says, I'm sorry, I'm helpless. And then only he can actually drift away from Krishna consciousness.
So, can we say like,
so on our part we should be very careful not to commit Vaishnava Aparad. But if somebody committed Vaishnava Aparad and like committed offences to us, and as a result of that he went away, but if he comes back, we should receive him with open arms. Yeah. Yes.
So you're saying that many devotees have left this fund and hide by Maya. Can I say that majority of this is because of offences?
Yeah, as I said, like ultimately it is due to the offense that one becomes a victim of Maya. You see, Vaishnava association is the most wonderful safety net, right? Like, you know, we may fall, but you know, the association, like a safety net, will save us, right? I mean, from falling down, we are saved, we are protected by the association of devotees. When you remain in the association of devotees, the chances of falling down is practically nil. But it is due to the Vaishnava Aparad, we lose the facility of remaining in the association of Vaishnavas. And then the trouble actually starts. Therefore, we should be very careful about not committing offenses. And another thing is that among ourselves, there may be some conflict, there may be some misunderstanding, there may be some disagreement. But they won't become so serious, they won't amount to Vaishnava Aparad as such, if we remain in the association, in the family. In this respect, Prabhupada said, that in a family, brothers fight, right? But then after 5 minutes, they become friends again. So in the family of ISKCON, we may fight, but after 5 minutes, we'll become friends again. But if we fight and go away from ISKCON, that is unfortunate. Therefore, even if we fight, we should stay within ISKCON. Let's fight within ISKCON. Let's not go out of ISKCON and fight. Then what will happen? You see, if we remain within ISKCON, then our concern should be the welfare of ISKCON. Because we are within ISKCON. But when we go out of ISKCON and then we fight, then our objective will be to destroy ISKCON. Because I left ISKCON, ISKCON is bad. Right? It doesn't mean anything to me. Let ISKCON be destroyed. And they try to destroy the movement. But no matter how much they try to destroy the movement from outside, they won't succeed. Because this is Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement. Mahaprabhu is protecting. The dangerous thing is the fight within ISKCON. So we should be very careful not to fight. And even if we fight, let that fight not be very serious. Let's become friends again after 5 minutes. Because we have seen, like, say for example, Gaudiya Math, like, as Prabhupada said, like, nothing could actually destroy the movement from outside. Like in ISKCON we are seeing, so many attacks are coming from outside. But those outside attacks are actually making ISKCON even stronger. Because we withstand the attack, overcome the attack, and as a result of that we become stronger. Whereas in Gaudiya Math we see that when, after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance, the devotees started to fight among themselves. And as a result of that fight, the institution disintegrated. Whereas in ISKCON we can see that, like, because we are together, because we are united, because we are functioning under one unified structure, and no matter whatever is happening, the structure is not being affected. And as a result of that, ISKCON is not only alive, but is thriving with the passing of time. Difficulties have come. There's been many, many, you know, devastating difficulties. But the society didn't disintegrate. Why? Because the devotees of ISKCON, within ISKCON, remained unified. All right. Thank you. Any other question? Yes. Yeah, yeah. You see, first of all, surrender means recognizing Krishna's greatness and taking shelter of Him with full conviction that here is a person who can take care of me in all respects. And when we surrender in this way to Krishna, then Krishna gives us all the protection. And that reciprocation that we see in reality, that I have surrendered to Krishna and Krishna is actually protecting me, Krishna is taking care of me, that actually increases our faith. And that faith becomes the element of our progress, or the means of our spiritual progress. And that is how we make spiritual advancement. It's a reciprocal thing. It's not just a mental thing, you know. And it's not even one way thing. It's not that we are doing it, we are rendering devotional service ourselves. And that's it, like we have to carry on and on and on till eternity. Right? No, the moment we start to render service, we see how Krishna is reciprocating. And that reciprocation actually increases our faith. And as we practice devotional service, we see, we can feel, we can perceive that how Krishna is actually rewarding us, how Krishna is reciprocating us, how Krishna is reassuring us, carry on, wonderful, good boy, good girl, so carry on. And then this way, we keep on rendering service and we see the reciprocation coming from Krishna. And that increases our faith and enables us to make advancement in our spiritual life. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande.